Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Bears. This is our Bears-Packers Week 2 preview. Thank you so much for checking us out on YouTube. Comment and question below. And thank you for listening on SiriusXM. Tell all your friends. We got a fantastic episode coming up for you in about 20 seconds. First, we got to talk about our sponsor, BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events. With first market odds and lines, it is BetOnline.ag. You have every single league, Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, you name it, golf, esports. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and even futures. So what are you waiting for? Jump on your mobile device and sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus only when you use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV50, to receive a 50% welcome bonus only at BetOnline, where the game starts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming into the pod. It's Packer Week. God, I hate this team, and it's early in the season, as usual, as it's been the past couple of years. So let's bring in my co-host to break it all down, a certain gentleman who got a lot of things right last week, and let's see if he can hone in that skill. He's former Bears defensive end, Northwestern Wildcat, and some people on Twitter are calling him Wootstradamus. It's Corey Wooten. What's up, Corey?
Oh, what's going on, man? I can't tell you the amount of hateful messages, DMs, and all that. I kind of showed you one of them, man.
You did.
I tell you, man, these 49ers fans, man, I tell you what, man, you have one loss, and, man, they take it personally. Oh, my gosh. Like, I was the one that played the game that lost the game. Take the L, bro. That's it.
Hey, 49ers fans, I thought you guys had rain. You guys had rain up there. You've seen rain in a game before. The excuse is my word. But we're moving on. We're on to Green Bay, to quote Bill Belichick, Corey, and we're here to break down with all your best keys to hopefully bring the Bears a victory in Week 2. You know, Corey, this is a tried and true rivalry, if one would say. Just a quick little history. Obviously, I hate the Green Bay Packers. Since I was a little kid, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have combined to go 45-15 against the Chicago Bears since 1991. So we're going to break it open here right now. Corey, let's start on the defensive side of the ball. Your forte, just drop one of your Corey's keys. What's a Corey's key on the defensive side of the ball for a Week 2 victory?
It's got to be stop the run. Last week against the 49ers, we really struggled in that first half stopping the run. You know, in the second half, we got things figured out. Mitchell for the 49ers got hurt in the beginning of the second half, so that was a damper in the run game. But we really have to stop the run game. You know, that's their probably best position besides Aaron Rodgers right now. You know, they have Dillon and Jones. I think they combined for over 5 yards a pop last week against the Vikings. That's the one area that they did well last week. So we must stop the run. Comes down to gap discipline. And, hey, the situation with the rain, it's going to rain this week. Probably not as bad as last week, but we really have to be gap discipline. Everybody has to have their gap assignment, their discipline, and we got to be able to stop the run. Have to.
Yeah, as we're recording this Thursday night, I think they're calling for rain in Green Bay earlier in the day, so it might be a wet field. We'll see what happens as the game transpires. We all know that weather changes. Corey, I want to throw it back to you on just this real quick. You know, what concerns you more right now, you know, or maybe like for Green Bay's side too as well, they might be out of their two starting tackles. You know, is that advantage Bears, or do we have to take care of business? Because I agree with you. I feel like we had trouble, we have trouble containing Elijah Mitchell in that week one. I felt like there wasn't a lot of first contact at the line of scrimmage. They kind of got some free run before we hit them. So, you know, the rubber meets the road there right now. Who has the edge in that right now? Our defensive line or the Green Bay running backs?
You know, I'm going to say Green Bay, you know, because they're the ones that did it consistently throughout that first game. I know it wasn't pretty for them. But defensively, like, it comes down to gap discipline. That's really what it was. You know, they came out and they were, you know, focused on running the football, and we were out of gaps at times. You know, anytime Elijah Mitchell had the ball in the first half, it seemed like he was being, you know, his first contact was at 9-10 yards. Yeah. And that'll gas you all day. So you can't do that. So I think it's about getting off blocks up front. You know, I thought they got stuck on blockers in that first half. And that's a big thing, getting that separation, being able to shed, be able to play two gaps at times when you need to. I just feel like the Niners started out very good with their plan, right? We're going to try to run the ball down their throats, right? And they succeeded at it. Bears weren't getting separation. But what I do love is in the second half, they really had those adjustments. like, hey, we need to be more gap discipline. We saw some of those linebackers scraping, you know, on some of those you know, toss plays, the sweeps that they had with Debo. They were able to get those things figured out, because in the first half they did not have an answer for that. So yeah, get with the gap discipline. That's the biggest thing. So Eberflus from, you know, against Green Bay, we have to play one of our best defensive performance of the season. You know, and everyone said, well, they don't have, you know, they don't have the receivers. They don't have this, that, and the other. Anytime they have number 12 under center, watch out. Like, because he can get hot in a hurry. And he's one of those quarterbacks that it doesn't matter what happened in the first quarter, the second quarter, even the third quarter, and some of the fourth, he will come back and hurt you. He has that confidence up there, and I think that's what separates him. He believes in himself. He's like, I don't need this receiver. I don't need that receiver. I can do this. I can carry this team. And that's what separates him. So, you know, really, really put your foot on the gas defensively, right, against Aaron Rodgers from the beginning of the game. You have to start fast. You cannot start slow and expect to come back like we did last week against Trey Lance and company.
Yeah, and this kind of ties in a little bit to my defensive key of the game. And, Corey, I'd love to have you weigh in on this one. And, look, it's week two. We don't have a lot of stats to work off of. We just know it's Aaron Rodgers underneath center. So I'm going to a tried-and-true one, third down. Because I think on your first key, running the ball is going to be something that Green Bay is going to really try and do and control the game at the line of scrimmage like that. So down and distance, third down, Aaron Rodgers. You know, how do we go about this with this young defensive secondary, you know, the speed at linebacker? Because I do like our speed. You know, you see Aaron Rodgers a lot with these quick passes, these little hitches to the flats, these quick little slants and stuff. I do think we have the speed to cover that up and tackle. But what do we do in those situations there? Is it down and distance literally, or is there anything in those short yardage third down scenarios where we can stop Aaron Rodgers in this game?
You know, I think it's tough. I think he thrives kind of in those short situations, because he threads the needle on all his throws, right? The big question, and he's had that question all offseason, all preseason, and last week, can they catch the football, right? Christian Watson had a wide open would-be touchdown on that first drive that the Packers got the ball after the Vikings scored. And he made a nice move on Patrick Peterson, had him by 10 yards. Ball's in his hands for a would-be touchdown, he drops it. So that's what Aaron Rodgers was talking about. So I think he's very frustrated. You saw him on the sideline, because some of those receivers look good at times in that game, but they struggle catching the football. And that's what happens with Devontae Adams early on in his career. You know, we had talked about this. His first 2 years, Aaron Rodgers said, I'm not throwing the ball because I don't trust him. He can't catch the ball. But obviously Aaron Rodgers, he's going through it now with his younger receiving core. You know, I know he has Randall Cobb, he has Sammy Watkins, but they don't seem like the same players that they used to be. You know, they're coming towards the tail end of their career. So he's going to have to get some of those young guys to step up. But I think the situation this week is, right, if we have, you know, the third and longer situations like last week, we had a lot of third and nine plus, and they were able to capitalize the 49ers on those situations. You can't win a game against Aaron Rodgers if he's doing that against you, right? We have to get off on those third and eight plus situations. You have to be able to get off the field on fourth.
And real quick, Corey, when you're talking third and long, really quick, we did not blitz a lot last week. We brought four, we brought five. We didn't bring a ton of pressure. Do we pressure Aaron Rodgers, or do we play him straight up? What would you do? You know, what would you want as a former defensive lineman?
You know, so I think you give him a combination, but I think the most important thing, and I've talked about this on the pods we did last year, you have to set an edge on Aaron Rodgers. On his right side, the defense is left. So the left end this week is going to be crucial. Dominique Robinson, Al-Kadeem Muhammad, you know, Travis Gibson. You have to set that edge on the left side. And I remember Rod Marinelli had told me when we played them in 2012, he said, if you just set the edge on the left side, because I played at left defensive ends, you will have two sacks in the game. And I had two sacks, right? And I could have had more, but I got greedy. In the second half, we were containing Rodgers in the first half. He was really struggling. We were getting after him. We had three or four sacks in the first half. And then all of a sudden, I tried to make an inside move. And Aaron Rodgers saw it. He hit that corner. And then they do that scramble drill, kind of like what we saw with Dante Pettis and Justin Fields, right, where they run deep. And that's so hard for a defensive back to cover that because, hey, you can't have all day to throw. And he completed a 60-yard bomb to Randall Cobb, and that just was the momentum changer for us in that game. So that's how Aaron Rodgers gets started. And that was kind of like Justin Fields in that last game. That's what got him going. So Aaron Rodgers is that same type of way. He loves to get outside. Once he gets outside of the pocket, he's actually a better passer on the move than he is in the pocket. He can do both, but he prefers being outside of the pocket. So that left end has to set the edge. You have to work together. You can't allow him to step up. So we need consistent pressure up the middle, and we need the, especially that left defensive end to set that edge up there. And I'm hoping Robert Quinn, it looks like David Bakhtiari probably will play this week. I know he's been practicing a little bit.
Limping, though. He's limp. Limping, there's videos of him limping hard. So okay. We'll see. Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, the Toradol, that shot that they give you before the game, that's a hell of a drug right there. You know, it's he'll probably be hurting afterwards. But I think if it's on the verge, I probably expect him to go, because obviously they're a different team when he's in there. But they got to be smart at the same time because it's a long season. So if Bakhtiari isn't out there, shoot, if that left defensive end sets the edge all day, Robert Quinn could have 4 or 5 sacks, you know? But you have to keep Rodgers inside the pocket. He wants to get out of there. You see him all the time. He's looking for windows to step up, set the edge on the left side. So when everyone's watching this, tuning in right now, let's look at that defensive front, right, and how well they keep him in the pocket. Because if they can keep him in the pocket consistently, get pressure on him, especially up the middle, that left defensive end, Robinson might have another 1.5 or 2 sacks. You know, Robert Quinn will come home as well. So they have to work together, rush and cover. And, hey, disguise them at times. Bring Roquan on a blitz here or there. But you know they're going to try to get the ball in the backfield to Dylan and Jones, especially in the passing game, some of those Texas routes, some of those swing routes. So, hey, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup. But if we can keep him contained in the pocket, I think you can limit him. Right. I don't think you can ever really truly contain Aaron Rodgers. You can limit him.
Well, and also this might seem a little obvious, but, you know, if you go back to performances by a Bears defense against Aaron Rodgers where he's had success, one of those things to keep an eye on, Bears fans, is if Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball away. He's sitting in the pocket, doesn't see what he likes, and lives to play another down by throwing it away. That's the version of Aaron Rodgers that is probably the most frustrated you will get one of the cooler customers on a football field that you'll ever see. So hopefully we can get him going in that direction a little bit. A couple throwaways here, a couple shaking of the heads as he looks up at the scoreboard walking off the field. Might give ourselves a shot. We're here on Believe in Bears, breaking down Bears versus Packers. We got offensive keys. We have matchup keys coming up. But, Corey, any other defensive keys, Corey's keys, before we move on to those categories?
Turnovers. It comes down to that, right? I don't think we're going to get many interceptions if we do. He just doesn't turn the ball over. That's not Aaron Rodgers' game. He threw, 4 all last year, including the playoffs as well, something along those lines. Like, he does not turn the ball over. We need some sack fumbles. We need to get the ball out on the receivers. It's kind of like Jalen Johnson punched the ball out. Some of those running backs as well. Slick surface, the rain, that affects how, you know, those ball carriers hold the ball. So punch that ball out. You know, always rally around the football. So if we can win in the turnover battle again, getting the ball out, you know, from the receivers, sack fumbles, I think we could have a chance, you know, because like I said, we need our best performance defensively to have a shot against Aaron Rodgers.
I'm really excited to see Jaquan Brisker in that short passing game with Aaron Rodgers. See him flying around the football a little bit. Maybe that's an opportunity where that could possibly happen.
And the one thing that I'm kind of nervous about is how a bunch of them, a bunch of defensive backs, Brisker, you know.
Gordon. I'm worried about Gordon. He got turned around a couple times week one.
They got their eyes in the backfield. They got their eyes in the backfield too many times. That would be touchdown. Trey Lance to Tyler Croft. That's 6 there all day. Why? Because he had his eyes in the backfield. We know they're going to run the football, right? But the thing is, you have to be disciplined. You have the tight end. You eye him. You don't have your eyes in the backfield. That's football 101. So I think I'm hoping it was just a first game jitters. You know, everything's flying all at once. You're getting nervous out there. Hopefully that's done with, because you have to have your eyes on your key. His key was the tight end. The tight end acted like he's going to block out, then go. You can't have your eyes biting in the backfield. So this week, look for that, because Aaron Rodgers loves a little play action. He loves some boots. You know, they have a really good play where they run a hard play action, you know, to try to really test that defense. And he's been known for that all day. You know, especially last week with Christian Watson. Christian Watson, my fault.
Ooh, right in the bread basket, and as a Bears exactly. fan, I laughed very hard at that. That exactly. made me laugh super hard. So
yeah, I mean, he's an explosive guy. You know, I think he's trying to get his confidence as far as catching the ball, but hey, don't sleep at all, because he made Patrick he dusted Patrick Peters. I know he's towards the tail end of his career, but he can still play some football now. So yeah, we just have to be alert for that, because Aaron Rodgers is really going to test this back secondary right there.
Well, and as we move over to our offensive keys of the game, I have kind of a general, and Corey, this is almost like an annual tradition at this point, because it keeps happening. It's not like every single game, but my general key for this goes for Bears fans and those guys in the locker room. It's just don't panic. What do we know about Aaron Rodgers when he plays the Bears? On that first drive, he probably is going to rip us up for seven plays, 72 yards and a touchdown, okay? It probably will happen. They'll probably go up 7-0, all right? It's almost like water is wet. Packers versus Bears. So if that does happen, Bears fans, don't freak out. Don't think the game is lost. I know that the guys in the locker room aren't going to think like that, but I know Bears fans at home might start freaking out if they get up to that early 7 lead. So I'm just saying, don't panic in that regard. Offensive keys of the game. Corey, if you don't mind, I'm going to go first, because I'd love to get your take on this, because I'm calling this key prioritize the protection. I know that we want to see Darnell Mooney. I know that we want to see Cole Kmet. I know that we want to see Byron Pringle and Dante Pettis, and I know we want to see this air attack. And I'm just saying, Corey, if we can just prioritize protection and give Justin Fields the time and keep him clean, give the running backs an opportunity, I think the sky's the limit for what we can do. From what I saw from Justin Fields last week, I just believe that if we give him some clean pockets and some opportunities, I think it's going to work out for us pretty well offensively. What say you on that, and what are some of your keys offensively too as well?
No, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, because early on, you look at that 49ers game, they really struggled with protection, and hats off to the 49ers. They arguably have one of talented. The best fronts we're going to see all year, right? They have a good rotation. Nick Bosa, arguably one of the best defensive ends in the game right now. You know, it was tough, but I think protection is a big thing. But how do you disguise some of these protection issues, rather, and it's getting Justin Fields on the move. It's some of those hard play actions. It's at times keeping maybe two tight ends in there, you know, with the hard play action, taking a shot deep, things of that nature, you know, getting Justin Fields on the move for some of those zone reads. And then, you know, once they're having trouble and they're tired, you know, that's the biggest difference in the 49ers game. When Justin Fields was on the move and we had some of those rollouts and boots, he allowed him to make plays as an athlete. That's when the 49ers front struggled, right? Because they got tired, they got gassed. Yeah. It's impossible. Like when a guy like Justin Fields gets outside the pocket, it changes the way your mentality as a rusher. You know, you're thinking, okay, I almost have to, we have to keep him in the pocket. We can't rush the same way, because then you're worried when you win on a rush move, he's going to hit the corner on you. So that just provided a different element. You know, Nick Bosa wasn't the same in that second half when he was chasing Justin Fields. Like, Justin Fields is a nightmare matchup when he's on the move. So utilize that, helping the protection as well. And then in certain situations, like the 3rd and 8, when Nick Bosa got the sack, he's one-on-one on Braxton Jones. And that shouldn't happen. Everyone said, well, it's football and you have to do this. You got to realize that you have a young player on an eye right there. And I understand that you can't chip help every time, but you know from the beginning of the formation, he's lined up on there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm calling the wide receiver, I'm calling a tight end, and I'm sliding him next to him. And then I'm going to chip and make sure that Braxton Jones has some help, because you can do that. You can slide the protection from him. You can do different things to help him. And that's the biggest thing this week. You know, obviously – the Green Bay Packers aren't the same front as the 49ers, but they're talented bunch. Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary really had a great year last year at 9.5 sacks. He had a sack last weekend against the Vikings. Kenny Clark is a talented guy in the middle as well that could hurt you as a pass rusher. So, hey, and they run a 3-4 now, so they're going to try to bring a lot of different looks and pressures on third down. It'll be interesting to see how we hold up against this, because early on, the 49ers brought a lot of pressure and we struggled with it.
Yeah, just quick follow-up question here, Corey. You know, we ran a pretty, you know, we talked last week all about penalties. We didn't commit a lot of penalties. For the most part, we ran a pretty much a clean operation from the huddle to the snap. Would you, and I know we want to control the ball, would you try and push tempo against the Green Bay Packers? Would you play some games with tempo and try and tire them out a little bit? Would you try and do something like that with this young team?
I would. Yeah. You looked at in the 49ers game when we had some, back to the line, hurry up. It's really tough because defensive linemen get gassed, more so than any other position. And that you can use that to your advantage, and especially if Justin Fields is on the move, it's going to be tough for them to keep up, especially if we're getting first downs or moving the ball. Why not get up, after a, a 9-yard pass? Why don't we get up to the ball real quick, second and one, go hurry up to the line, run a running play, then see how they are. Then, okay, we'll do it. Catch them off balance a little bit, and it makes them think, it gets them tired. It's a different element that you could bring in there.
Corey, toss out, what's your biggest offensive key? What's a Corey's key to an offensive successful day in week two on Sunday Night Football? It's just a night.
Get the running game going. You look at how that opened up everything in the second half against the 49ers. And, hey, it wasn't David Montgomery, right? He didn't have the best game, not to his fault, right? But then you look at Khalil Herbert. He came off, he really came in his own in that second half. He was able to bust through the holes. He really had that juice in there. So whether it's Montgomery, Herbert, the 1-2 punch, really have to get that run game going, because what it does is it provides Justin Fields with a little bit of confidence, right? Because then you can run the boots and sprint outs. That's what was so effective with the 49ers early on. Shanahan, I was getting on his play calling, but early on, he did a great job of scripting for success for Trey Lance. What did he do? Run the football. They're running 8 to 10 yards a pop. And then all of a sudden, a hard play action, right? Defense's eyes in the backfield. They're not rushing as good. They're beating them deep. So that's what we have to do. The run sets up everything else. It makes everything that much easier. So if you can get the run game going, those play actions, those nakeds, those boots, they work, Yep. And that's what we saw in the second half. Obviously, they weren't running the ball as effectively as the Niners were in the first half. But, when Khalil Herbert was averaging almost 5 yards a pop, that was getting things going. That allowed the boots, the play actions to really thrive and allow Justin Fields to provide that different element of his game when he's on the move.
Yeah, I think Dave Montgomery is going to have a nice bounce back game, honestly. And it kind of looked like they were sort of exchanging. Like, it was like 67% David Montgomery, 33% Khalil Herbert. So I think he's going to still stay involved. Corey, I wanted to ask you, I don't know if this is an offensive key or not, but I am really, really curious to watch Luke Getsy, who knows a Green Bay defense, versus a Matt LaFleur who kind of knows Luke Getsy a little bit. There's a little bit of familiarity going on there. And I think it's a really interesting opportunity for Luke Getsy to, I don't know if this is too much of a sports radio take or something, but, to really make his paycheck here and find a look, find a moment, find a scheme, find a play, whatever it is, to really kind of gash the Green Bay Packers kind of out of nowhere. Do you think that's kind of overplayed a little bit? Is that more in the flow of the game where, like, if the look shows up, then you try and hit it? Or is this an opportunity for Getsy to maybe, unlock a couple secrets or something and spring a surprise on them at the right time?
Well, I want to see his first scripted plays, right? There's usually, I believe, 10 scripted plays, somewhere around there, 10 to 15, somewhere in that range. I want his best script, right, to set up Justin Fields and set up this offense, right? Because you script it first, then you run off the script based off what the defense is doing, how that's going. So I want to see him as a play caller, right? And, this was kind of a gamble for the Bears, right? A guy with no real true coordinator experience, right? To see, he learned under Aaron Rodgers, LaFleur, all these guys.
A little college stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Let's see when the bright lights are on him against his old team, how he's going to game plan for a guy like Justin Fields, right? And hey, I always said, and we talked about this, it doesn't have to be 300, 400 yards for Justin Fields. It's not what we want. I think a successful season for him, like I said, is anywhere from that 190 to 210, 250 maybe if he's,
Not eight completions for only 120.
Yeah, yeah.
He just beat a team that went to the NFC Championship game on 8 completions. I'm in agreement with you on this. Yeah,
exactly. So I think people think initially he has to light it up like Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert or some of these guys, Josh Allen. That's not what it is at all, because he's still a young guy trying to get things figured out. The biggest thing he can do is make smart decisions, avoid those type of picks like the one he threw. Trying to fit it in the window to Mooney, because Cole Kmet was open in that situation, right? He's got to learn from that experience. But to be efficient, right? take what the defense is giving you. In the second half in that 49ers game, he took what the defense is giving him. He said, listen, me one-on-one on a defensive end, good luck, Chuck. You ain't catching me, right? And I'm going to be able to get that confidence, because once he completed that ball to Pettis, man, he had that confidence. You just saw how he was with the progressions, and then having the great touchdown to St. Brown, that was impressive, and then leading the Bears to another drive. So, Luke Getsy, let's see your play calling, baby. This is your audition right here. Let's see it, right? You know, let's see what you're made of. Let's see if you're one of the great young play callers in the game in the making, right? Let's see it. Let's see it. Sunday Night Football against the Packers. This is probably the best opportunity that the Bears have had in a couple years to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, right? He talked all that smack last year. Discount, double check, I own you. Let's see it, right? Because obviously we're going to have to put some points on the board, because Aaron Rodgers is going to put points on the board. So, hey, Luke Getsy, what are you made of in this game? Let's see it, right? Let's see it. Because last week, what was a monsoon, right? Some people are taking that with a grain of salt, you know, because of the conditions. Let's see this week when we have more normal weather. It might be rainy. It's not going to be like last week. So let's see what you're made of. Let's see how you can showcase Justin Fields, right? A rising guy in this league. Let's see it.
Yeah, you said the word, and I keep thinking about it. Opportunity. This is a great opportunity for Luke Getsy to surprise and to show a little bit of what he's made of and how he has a handle on this offense. Corey, before we get to final score, any other offensive keys? Is there one matchup or anything like that that you're looking at right now? You've got your magnifying glass and saying, man, this could be an X factor no one's thinking about.
You know, I don't think there's a particular matchup that I'm really eyeing. There's one last key I have, right? And it's the big two offensively. So people that we didn't really hear last week, Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet, right? Combined one catch each, you know, combined. So
I think only three targets too.
Three targets, right?
Not going to happen again.
Exactly. We need more production from them, especially Mooney, right? He's a great route runner. He needs to take that next step, right? He had over 1,000 last year in offense that struggled, right? I think he's one of the more underrated receivers in the game. He's got to prove that, right? Cole Kmet, we need to utilize him, because with the boots, the play actions, the seam routes, we need to utilize some of those zone beaters, right? That's going to be Justin Fields' best friend. So we need more production from those guys, the big two in that offense, right? Obviously, Montgomery, Herbert, they're going to be a big part. But catching the football, Mooney and Kmet should be the two top targets every game. And then especially in the red zone, Cole Kmet's got to come through, because Justin Fields needs that security blanket. And any great team, they utilize that tight end in the red zone.
And we were talking about Luke Getsy just a second ago. It's going to be fascinating to see, right, because I did notice a little bit toward as the game progressed against the 49ers, they kind of kept Kmet in the box a little bit to help out with the blocking. And so it's going to be one of those decisions. Can the offensive line hold up enough to let Kmet sneak out and get some of those looks? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know if we're even at the point where we can just have Kmet line up like in a slot position right now. Yeah. We might have to kind of fake it a little bit. And is he going to chip? Is he going to run a route? That kind of thing. So can Getsy find those moments to execute to spring Cole Kmet free? Man, that would just be a huge, huge, huge edge. Darnell Mooney, I'm not too worried about Darnell Mooney, but I'm with you, man. I think it's time, right? Like, let's try and get the ball into his hands at least twice in the first 15, if possible.
Yeah, we need some targets. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right? Just get a little.
If it's there, take a shot at it, where only he can get it. You know, I think, you know, people sometimes don't understand. Like, listen, there's certain situations, right, where a receiver has an out route on the sideline, right? You put it to where only he can get it. It's not getting picked. It's either out of bounds or he gets it. That's it, right, in situations like that. Sometimes you got to try to thread the needle in certain situations, right? I think that's what makes quarterbacks great. That's what makes the guy we're going against, Aaron Rodgers, great, is the fact that he makes those decisions, but he realizes, listen, it's either him getting it or nobody at all, right? That back shoulder play that they have all the time on the goal line, right? And he's threading the needle. Those are calculated decisions where it could be looked at as a risky throw, but you're only putting it to where he is, because that defender – is looking on playing defense, and all of a sudden turns at the last second, the wide receiver, and gets it, you know? So it's either he's catching or nobody at all. So situations like that, that's what we need to get Mooney some more targets. And let's take some shots. Let's test this defense, right? They're coming off, obviously, Justin Jefferson's an absolute monster. He's one of the best receivers in the league. But, hey, Darnell Mooney, let's take some shots with him. Let's test this defense, right? Let's see what they're about. Let's see.
And JF1, he's got the arm, he's got the accuracy to do it. So it's not just about like, can we get into a situation where we can do it? I mean, we should really just try and test it and see what we can come up with. You know, I'm thinking about that Byron Pringle throw that was just a little bit too close to the sideline last week. You know, let's keep trying to go for those shots. Corey, it's time, man. It's time for final score prediction. Week two, we are both 1-0 on the year after picking a Bears victory. Do you want to go first? Should I go first? What do you want to do? I'm going to give you first dibs here, Woodstradamus.
All right.
What do you
All
want?
All right, I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I got it. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I got this one with the Packers 24, Bears 21. And this is one we talked about. I predicted this.
I have 24-20. Damn it.
Okay. I predicted this as a loss from the beginning of the season. I thought they'd be 1-1 at this point. I thought they would beat the 49ers. Just Aaron Rodgers, what he's been able to do as of late, and people say, well, he played terrible last week. He did the same thing last year against the Saints and then bounced back with 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. They won the game and in week two. So I take that first game with a grain of salt when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, his history against the Bears. I'm kind of like, show me, right? When it comes to Aaron Rodgers, right? I feel good about the Bears sometimes against the Vikings, how they play them. But against Aaron Rodgers, right? Show me. Because
we haven't beaten them in 3 years, Corey. Exactly. We haven't beaten them since 2018.
Exactly. And I think he takes that personally, the fact that like, hey, I own you, Bears. I own you. That he said that. You know, I think he takes that personally.
Until we put a, we gotta put a, you're in real estate. We gotta put a for sale sign in front of the house, so we have to take ownership back of our house somehow. It was foreclosed on, whatever word you want to say from Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. So yeah, I had this as a loss from the beginning of the season, which I don't think is a bad thing. I mean, obviously, this will be a true litmus test for the Bears to see where they're at, right? Offensively, defensively. If everything that we thought was gonna happen. Is coming to fruition, right? If we see the offense under Justin Fields, doesn't have to light it up, right? But make really good decisions, be a playmaker at times. And it's not about stats, because people talk about stats all day long. It's about wins. It's about being efficient. It's about leading your players down the field and it's scoring touchdowns, not field goals, right? So I think it's going to be a good test, man. I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. But I just have Aaron Rodgers as the edge in this one, just because of the history, the recent history.
A lot of 40 Winers fans tossing a lot of stats out this week. We know all that all too well. Look, Corey, yeah, man, you know, we walked into the season. I think we both thought this was going to be a loss. So I'm going to go with my head on this one. And more importantly, I'm going to protect my heart. All right, I'm going to say the Bears are going to lose in week two. And I had about a 24-20 because – Corey, if I sort of see this season the way I feel right now, and I want them to surprise me, but I think we're going to be in a lot of games. We've said that before, a lot of tight games, and then it's just going to come down to some of those moments. And in those moments, I have to side with Dark Lord Aaron Rodgers, you know, over a young football team still trying to come together and find its own. The only thing that I will say, Corey, and I want you to weigh on this, is I've been thinking about it a lot this week, and I know that we're talking a lot about the Dante Pettis play and the monsoon and the slide in the end zone. You know, there is a really interesting opportunity, and I want nothing more than the JF1, Justin Fields, to shut my mouth on this one, because there's something really galvanizing. I just feel like about just not how he played, dude, but how he carried himself. Like, there was something. I know you've thrown out Cam Newton before, and when I watched Cam Newton, it was just – Cam Newton, it wasn't always pretty or like, I don't know, but he was the guy that just said, I'm putting my team on my back. We're just scoring here, or we're just going to win here. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to put it out there. And Justin Fields has got a little bit of that inside of him, and it's starting to come out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of thinking back to that Steelers game of last year. He flashed that a little bit. If there is a shot to upset the Packers, it's probably going to come down to the arms and legs and head and heart of Justin Fields. And so I'm hoping that our quarterback proves me wrong, but I am going to go with a loss here in week two against the Packers. And I'm right. I'm with you, man. We could lose this game and still learn a lot and still build a ton off of this performance, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I think the biggest thing I want to see is offensively, I want to see how we move the ball, right? Because last week at times it was, yes, exactly. Like, are we going to start out with a run? Okay. Then another run. And then let's run some more, right? I think if you get 3 to 4 a pop, hey, let's continue running the football, right? Let's set the identity of this team. And that's how it's been from the beginning. They wanted to be a run-first team. Let's set the identity. And then everything else will fall into place when they can get the running game going. So I think a lot of teams sometimes, when it's not working right away, This week, I want to see a run play on the first play of the game. I don't want to see a pass play. I want to see a running play. Let's go two tight ends. Let's run the football, right? Let's set the tone of this game, and let's smash mouth football. You know, it's going to be a little rainy. It's going to be a little wet. Smash mouth football. Let's have everything set up off this run game, and then defensively, let's come out starting hot early. But hey, if you do contain Aaron Rodgers, if you are stopping him early on, don't let that foot off the gas. Let's keep this going, right? Because the biggest way that you can get him frustrated is just getting bodies around him and not allowing him to step up or around the pocket. You keep him contained in there. I really feel like the Bears have a shot if they can keep him in that pocket, because every game he usually has that one play, just like Justin Fields with that Dante Pettis pass, that really gets him going, right? Gets him going. It gives him that confidence, right? And he's probably one of the most confident quarterbacks in the game. But we can't let him have that big play like that, right? And we're fine all day. Him take little chunks here or there, right? But don't allow the big plays. I thought last week in the second half they did a good job of limiting those, big plays. In the first half we were getting gashed left and right.
Corey, that's how your defenses, when you were playing for the Chicago Bears, that's how your defenses hung in those games, man. It was a bend, don't break. Yep. You know, he'd kind of rip you for a little bit, but you got to around midfield and it would kind of slow down a little bit. Exactly. And then on that third down, come up that big play, hold him to field goals or stop him at the 40, 45-yard line.
Exactly.
You know, the field position wasn't always great on the other side, but that's how you do. That's how you compete against Aaron Rodgers. And, Corey, keep in mind, too, as well, if it rains on Sunday, the Bears are undefeated in rain games this year. That's a stat for you. Take that stat of the week. If it rains in every game this year, Corey, we might just go 17-0. I don't know.
we'll see, man. But I think this will be a good test for the Bears. I'm looking forward to it, right? Because you know we're predicting there's a loss. But I mean, if there's any year that I felt the best about this game, it's this year, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers without Davante Adams. His best receiver right now looks like Sammy Watkins and looks like the tail end of his career. We don't see the same burst. We don't see all that. Randall Cobb has been reliable, but like same thing. No disrespect to him by any means, but he's towards the tail end of his career. Christian Watson, very talented, but he looks like he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers' confidence right now. You know, Robert Tonyan, he's going to be a red zone threat, mostly a blocker, right? So if there's any year where Aaron Rodgers doesn't have all the weapons at receiver, right? He has two talented running backs. That's the strength of those playmakers right now. So I think they're going to try to get them involved. But this is the best year, I think, to be able to contain Aaron Rodgers and have a shot to win this game.
Corey, I hear it in your voice, man. I mean, last year, I think it was this pall of, you know, is Matt Nagy going to continue to coach the Chicago Bears? So it wasn't, you know, it was more of like a they better. You know what I mean? Yep. And this year, I think it's a little bit more of a we'll see. And it's exciting. And I think they might have a great opportunity to compete. Again, it's early on in the year, too, as well. So it's a great time to face teams that are playoff contenders. Always good to see them in September. Then, obviously, in November and December. Corey, we got to get out of here. Today's Believe in Bears was presented by BetOnline.ag. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code BELIEVE50. BLEAV50. Thanks so much for checking us out on YouTube. Comment and question below. We're going to answer them if you comment, so you might as well do it. Thank you so much for listening to us on SiriusXM. Tell all your friends. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. You can follow Corey Wooten at Corey Wooten. That's two O's. That's two T's. Corey, my man, you're doing great work. I love being on Team Believe, but I also love being on Team Corey, man. So anyone listening to as well, he's going to be breaking down the Chicago Bears after the game. CHGO After Dark, are you doing the pregame? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm going to do a little bit of both. I'm going to be doing the pregame. I think we're going to do a halftime hit and then after the game as well. So we'll be breaking down all that. You catch me on Fox 32 as well on some Sundays. And when I'm not there, I'm going to be doing the CHGO and this show twice a week with Joey. So, yeah, looking forward to it, man. This is going to be a great test, like I said, for the Bears. And it's gonna give us an idea. Obviously it'd be nice to have a win. But I think what's more important is this game is seeing growth on both sides of the football, right? What did we learn from last week? You know, what adjustments are we going to make going into this game so we don't have the same mistakes pop up? You know, being more disciplined in that first half, stopping the run. Offensively, really sticking to the run early on and just making a concerted effort to get that running game going. Then get Justin Fields on the move, open up that passing package. So this is going to be a great test. Looking forward to it. Sunday Night Football doesn't get any better. And after the game on Monday, we'll have another pod breaking down what the Bears did well, what they didn't do well, what they need to improve on, and moving forward in the next game.
And Corey, if they win, I'm going to be beside myself. So that is worth the price of admission, let alone to come in and check out the next Believe in Bears pod, hopefully coming at you. Yeah, Monday night and obviously early Tuesday morning. My co-host, a man who wears many hats, a man who one day will be opening up his own store in a mini mall coming near to you, Woochstradamus, psychic greetings coming at you.
Have disgruntled 49ers fans, man. Can you tell me what they're going to win this game?
You need to take the L. You have a talented team. Get over it. We outplayed you. No big deal. Other than that, be well, be safe. Please be good to each other. Thanks for watching Believe in Bears. We're going to be back after the Sunday Night Football game. Bear down. Bears Packers, you got to bear down.
Do you believe?